B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Dalet. We're going to start two lines from the top of the Omud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel Omud Aleph at the bottom that one of the things that you're allowed to do on Shabbos in order to help or to protect the child during and after the Bris Milah is that noisnin olea aspelonis, one's allowed to put a bandage on the wound, on the Milah, the komun, and one's allowed to apply a spice called komun. Im lo yishochak me'erev Shabbos, if you do not crush the spice, the komun, before Shabbos, lo yis b'shinov v'noisen, you're allowed to crush it with one's teeth and then apply it on Shabbos. And the reason you do it with your teeth, even though it's a sakona, you have to apply it, but since you're able to do it in an unusual manner, we rather do a melocha in an unusual manner than do it in a usual manner, even though one is allowed to do the melocha to save someone's life. Im loy toraf yayin v'shemen me'erev Shabbos, and one of the things they used to apply on the milah to cure the milah is they would have wine with oil that was toraf, that was very vigorously mixed together. They would apply that as well. And if somebody did not prepare this mixture before Shabbos, yinosein zeh ba'atzmoy v'zeh ba'atzmoy, then one is allowed to apply it, but one should not apply it, one should not vigorously mix the wine and the oil, since that's very similar to what you do during the week. There's a discussion exactly what the issue with it is, but either way, you shouldn't do it. Rather, they should be applied separately. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim, what does it mean? Does it mean that you apply it to the wound, the wine separately and the oil separately? Or does it mean that you can put them both into a container and let them mix on their own, but you shouldn't mix them at all? Or are you allowed to mix it a little bit, just not allowed to mix it vigorously? Part of that we'll see in the Gemara, part of it is going to be a discussion in the Mefarshim. Says the Gemara, Lo yishochak me'erev Shabbos, if somebody did not crush this komun, this spice before Shabbos, they can chew it and crush it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonon, Dvorim she'ein oisin lemila b'Shabbos, those things that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos for the Mila, for example, to crush the komun and to crush it in a regular manner, oisin lo b'yontov, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. For example, Sheichakin lo komun. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to crush the komun in a very normal manner. V'toyrfin lo yayin v'shemen. And you're allowed to vigorously mix the wine and the oil for to be applied onto the wound of the Mila on Yom Tov. Omele Abayle Rav Yosef, Maishno komun b'Yom Tov. Why is one allowed to apply? And why is one allowed to crush komun on Yom Tov? To chazu l'kadeira, because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to prepare food, and since this komun, the crushed komun, can be used in a regular food to be put in a pot on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, since you're allowed to do that on Yom Tov, therefore one is allowed to even crush it to be put onto the Mila. So the Abaya asks of Yosef, if the reason you're allowed to crush komun on Yom Tov is because you can use crushed komun on Yom Tov even without a wound, without being sick, yayin v'shemen chozi nami b'shabbos l'choyle, then mixing the wine and the shemen and the oil should be allowed even on Shabbos, because one's allowed to mix wine and oil on Shabbos for a sick person. We're talking here about a chayla she'ein bo sakana, because a chayla that's yesh bo sakana, you can do anything. But even for a chayla she'ein bo sakana, one is allowed to mix the oil and the wine on Shabbos for him. So why are you not allowed to mix the two on for the Bris Milah? We saw in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to mix the oil and the wine on Shabbos. Why not? You can use it. The Tanya, as we saw in a Braisa, Ein toirfin yayin v'shemen l'choyle b'Shabbos. The Tanakhama say that you should not vigorously mix the wine and the oil for a choyle she'ein bo sakana on Shabbos. Om Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Mishum Reb Meir. Reb Shimon ben Elazar says in the name of Reb Meir, he argued with the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama say on Shabbos for regular choyle, you're not allowed to mix the wine and the oil. Reb Meir, however, argues and says, Af toirfin yayin v'shemen, you're even allowed to vigorously mix the wine and the oil for a chayle. And we know that our Mishnah, as with most Mishnahs in Shas, where no name is mentioned in the Mishnah, then the Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. So since Reb Meir says here you're allowed to vigorously mix the wine and the oil for regular chayle she'ein bo sakana, even on Shabbos, and our Mishnah would be going according to Reb Meir, why then does our Mishnah say you're not allowed to mix the wine and the oil? And the Mishnah and the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Om Reb Shimon ben Elozo, Pam achas chosh Reb Meir b'me'ov. At one point Reb Meir was not feeling well in his intestines, his digestive system wasn't so right. V'bikashnu litroi flo yayin v'shemen, and we wanted to vigorously mix together wine and oil in order for him to drink it, and that would cure him. V'lo yinachnu, he didn't allow us to do that. Omarnu lo, we said to him, dvorecha, your own opinion that it's allowed to be done on Shabbos, yevatlu b'chayecha, you're going to not heed them, you're going to be mevatel them during your very lifetime. We're doing this for you and complying with your opinion that it's muta. Omar Lonu, and Reb Meir said to us, Aval pisha ani oimer kech, it's true that I hold it's muta. V'chaveirai oimrim kach, but my colleagues, my friends, the chachomim, they say it's osa. And miyomai loy mileni libi laver al divrei chaveirai. In my whole life, I never went against, I never contradicted anything my friend said. And since my friend said that one should not do this on Shabbos, therefore don't do it on Shabbos. Who knew the machmer nafshei? It's true that Reb Meir himself, he was machmer, he didn't want to go against his friends. Aval lekuli alma. But for anybody else, Reb Meir holds, it's muta. Shari, it's muta. If so, our Mishnah, that is a stam Mishnah, there's no name there, it would be Reb Meir, it should be allowed. Answers the Gemara, I'll tell you a fundamental difference between the case of Reb Meir and the Chachomim here, and our Mishnah. Hosam, in the case of a regular chayle, loy boyo licha. It doesn't need to be very well mixed. And therefore, Reb Meir says it's muta. Hochaba, in the case of Mila, what they would typically do, it would be toirfin. Boya licha, it would be very, very well mixed, and that you shouldn't do. And even Reb Meir agrees you shouldn't do that. Asks the Gemara, Hochanami nevid v'loy lilach. So too here, let's just do what you would do for a regular chayle, mix the two together, and then apply it, and don't mix it vigorously. Says the Gemara, you're right. Hainu diktoni, noisin ze bifnei atzmi, v'ze bifnei atzmi. When it says in the Mishnah that you should apply each one separately, it doesn't mean just apply them separately on the wound. No, you can put them both in a bowl, you can let them mix, and as long as you do not vigorously mix them together, that's what the Mishnah means. Noisin ze bifnei atzmi, v'ze bifnei atzmi. And whatever you're allowed to do for a regular chayla, of course you can do for the mila. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Ein mesanenin es achardol b'mesanenes sheloi. One is not allowed to sieve mustard in a sieve that is unique to separate the mustard from the chaff, from the peels of the mustard. You're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. V'ein memaskin oisoi b'gacheles. The mustard would become sweetened when some coal was put on it, and you're not allowed to sweeten the mustard using a coal. Omar le'abai l'Rav Yosef, ma'ishno. Mehod etnan noisnin beitzo b'mesanenes shel chardol. We know that after or whilst sieving the chardol, the mustard, they would typically take a raw egg and allow it to sieve through the mustard sieve, and it would be beneficial for the looks and possibly the taste of the mustard. And they would allow the egg to go through the sieve. So he says, if you're allowed to let an egg go through the sieve on Yom Tov, why do you not allow us to sieve the mustard itself? Omer le, so Rav Yosef answered to Abaye, I'll tell you why. Hosom loy merze kabayra. In the case of the egg, it's true that the yellow part of the egg goes through the sieve first because it's a little bit more fluid, and the white part will stay in the sieve, and therefore it looks like you're separating, but ultimately the white part of the egg is also going to fall through the holes of the sieve and nothing is going to be left on top. Since nothing is left on top, it doesn't look like you're doing boira. However, hoche, in the case of the mustard itself, where the mustard itself is going down and the shell of the mustard is staying in the sieve, merzik boira, it looks like you're doing boira and you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. And Tosfos on Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph discusses what's the issue with doing boira. One's allowed to do boira on Yom Tov, and there's a reason why over here one is not allowed to do boira. Continues the Gemara, Ve'ein mematkin oisoi begacheles. We saw in the Braisa, you're not allowed to sweeten the mustard by spreading a coal over it on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, V'otanya mematkin oisoi begacheles. We learned in another Braisa explicitly, you are allowed to sweeten the mustard by putting some very boiling hot type of coal on it. Says the Gemara Loi Kashya, it's not a contradiction. Kan begacheles shel mateches. When you're taking a red hot piece of iron, which is an iron type of coal, and you put that onto the mustard, that you're allowed to do. Because the mustard is not going to extinguish the metal. It's a hot metal. There's nothing to extinguish. Kan, but when we said in the Braisa here that you're not allowed to spread the coal onto the chardel, onto the mustard, that's because you're talking about shel eitz. It was a piece of charcoal made of wood, and if you apply it to the mustard may extinguish the coal, and you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Omer le'Abaye l'Rav Yosef, ma'ishno mi'bisra agumra. Why is it different to the halacha that you're allowed to hold a piece of meat onto coals, even though it's inevitable that the juices coming out of the meat are going to somewhat extinguish the coal? Omar le'Abaye, Rav Yosef answered to Abaye, Hosom, in the case of the meat, you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov. You're allowed to prepare meat. Loi efshar, and you cannot prepare it before Yom Tov because the meat is much less tasty when it's cooked the day before. Most things that are served hot are best served if they are made and heated on the day that you're serving it. Hocha, but in the case of the mustard, efshar, it's served cold. You could easily prepare it the day on Erev Yom Tov. Since you can prepare it on Erev Yom Tov, there's no reason to extinguish the coal with the mustard by doing it on Yom Tov. And again, the Mefarshim and the Poskim discuss how this influences Hilchas Yom Tov on a broader way, but we're just learning the Gemaras locally. Says the Gemara, Omar le'Abaye Rav Yosef, another question Abaye asked Rav Yosef, Mahu legabein, are you allowed to prepare cheese, to solidify cheese on Yom Tov? Omar le, Rav Yosef says, also, you're not allowed to. Asked Abaye to Rav Yosef, Maishno milisha, you're allowed to knead a dough. You can take all the ingredients and put it into one dough on Yom Tov. Why should kneading be more mutter than preparing cheese? Omar le, again, Rav Yosef answered to Abaye, Hasam loy efshar. In the case of making a dough, of kneading a dough, you cannot do it from Erev Yom Tov. If you knead the dough on Erev Yom Tov, the bread will not be as tasty. Hocha efshar, but in the case of making the cheese is served cold. It doesn't need to be prepared on that day, and it doesn't need to go through a baking or cooking process, and therefore there's no reason not to do it before Yom Tov, so you should not do it on Yom Tov. V'ha'omrin ardoyi, Abaye asked of Yosef, did ardoyi not say, Gvino bas yoyma ma'alya, that there's an advantage to cheese made on that day, and nonetheless, you're saying that you can make the cheese the day before. Why is it different to you have to make the cheese the day before. Why is it different to kneading? That it's true that it's better to do it today, but you can do it yesterday on Erev Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Hochika Omra, you misunderstood what Nardoi said. Nardoi didn't say that there's an advantage of doing it on the day that you want to eat it. The afilu gvina bas yoyma ma'alya. They said doing it the day before, of course, is okay and maybe even advantageous. But even if it's on the day that you want to eat it, nonetheless, it's still okay. It's still ma'alya. It's still got value and it's tasty. And that's what Narador said. But since you can equally do it on the day before, therefore, you're not allowed to make the cheese on Yom Tov. Continues the Gemara. Ein oisin lo chaluk. We learnt in the Mishnah that for the Mila, even though one has to bandage the mila itself, and there's a few reasons for that. You have to bandage it just because it's a wound. You have to make sure that it heals. You don't want it to be exposed. And there's other reasons that you have to use certain types of bandages, because the mila actually consists of cutting away the orlos skin, which is above the head of the aver. And besides for that, the skin that's covering the head has to be pulled off the head and tied, not tied down, but held down onto the rest of the aver, with the head of the aver being totally exposed. And then when it heals, it will attach itself to the rest of the aver. And that's how one has to do the mitzvah's mila. So you need a bandage to hold that skin in place. But you're not allowed to make this shirt-like bandage, a bandage that sits on top of the aver to cure the aver and to hold down the skin. You're not allowed to make that on Shabbos. You have to use something, otherwise it's dangerous. So you take a piece of cloth, you wrap it around the aver, and then it can heal. And then the Mishnah continues, what do you do if you didn't have one ready from before Shabbos, that you're allowed to even go and fetch one from further away, even though it's infringing on some of the halachas of Shabbos, but you should do it in an unusual manner, you should wrap it around your finger. Says the Gemara, Ein oisin lo chaluk chulei. You're not allowed to, lekatchila, make this bandage on Shabbos. Omar Abaya, Omruli Ein. Again, Abaye is quoting his mother, and this wasn't his mother. He didn't have a mother, or he didn't know his mother. This was the nurse or the woman that looked after him. She said as follows, Hai chaluk diyunuka. When you're applying this bandage on a little baby that's just had a bris mila, lafne lesitra le'iloi. You should make sure that the hem of this bandage, it's a round bandage, it's obviously got a seam, it's got a hem someplace, you should make sure to turn it, that it should be upwards or outwards more accurately, that the threads on the hem of this bandage is not attached to, or is not connected and touching the wound. Dilma midbik, because maybe some of these threads will attach themselves and stick to the wound when it's healing, and then Dilma midbik garda mine. Maybe a thread will attach itself from the hem of this bandage onto the wound. V'osi l'dei krus shavcha. And when you remove the bandage, then you will puncture the aver and you can cause the child to become permanently damaged. Eima d'Abaya, whoever this nurse that was looking after Abaya, she used to use such a bandage, but she did not turn the hem inside out, it should be outwards. The hem was facing inwards, but in order to avoid the threads of the hem attaching itself to the wound, she would have a lining inside, an added lining that would be interruption. It would be between the hem, the seam of the bandage and the wound, and therefore she was not taking a risk of hurting the child. Ovdo kisaso, she would make a covering, a lining, lepalga, to the half of this bandage which is close to the wound, and she would make sure that the threads would not get attached to the wound. Omar Abaya. Abaya said, Hai yunuka delesle choluk. If you have a child who's had bris mila and you haven't got such a shirt type of bandage to put on, laisi belisa de isle shifsa. You should bring a rag. A rag typically would have a shifsa, would have a hem. V'likrachei, and you would fold over l'shifsa, the hem would be folded over l'satoi, which means that the part of this rag where the hem is would be folded out, so the threads of the hem are nowhere near the wound. V'ayiflei l'iloi, and the top part of this rag where there might be some threads that are sticking out, there he would double over. Ayiflei means double over l'iloi. The top part of this rag would be doubled over outwards, and that way none of the threads, not on the side where the seam is and not on the other side of the rag, will get anywhere near the wound. V'omar Abaya. Abaya said, Omro li'em, Hai yunuka, deloy yedia mafkosei. What happens if this child in Chas v'Shalom, that one cannot determine, it's not detectable where his back passage is, where the stool comes out of. And this child seems to have a cover of skin over the whole back area, and you don't know where the exit is. What should you do? L'shayfei mishcha. You should rub the whole area with oil. V'loikmei lehadi yoimo. And you should stand the child in the sun, where he'll get warm. The oil will warm it up. V'heicha dezig. And where the skin looks a little bit more transparent due to the oil and the heat, you can see where the skin's a little bit more transparent. Likori, you can tear a hole open there. What tool should you use? Besarasa. You should use a grain of barley, which is sharp. And how should you do it? Shesi v'erev. You should make a little slit going from side to side and another little slit going from the top to the bottom. A little type of a cross. And then you'll have an opening. Aval beklimatchos, you should not use a metal tool. Mishum dezorif, it causes inflammation, and we don't want that to happen. Continues the Gemara of Omar Abaya. Omro li aim, ha yenuka deloy mayitz. If you have a child and chas v'sholem, the child is not sucking milk from its mother. The reason is, meikar dekar pumayitz, because his mouth is too cold, and therefore he doesn't feel comfortable or isn't able to do the sucking motion. So what should you do? Maitakante, what's the remedy? Leisa kasa gumra, you should bring a cup of coals. Velinkate, and stand it, linkate le lahadi pume, you should stand it near the mouth of the child. Be careful you don't burn the child. Dechayim pume, will warm up the mouth of the child. Umayit, and then it will be able to suck. Continues the Gemara of Omar Abaya. Omro li aim, if chas v'sholem, a child is not breathing, you don't see his chest going up and down in a regular fashion as it would with the child that's breathing. You should fan the child with a fan, and it will help him breathe. Abaya said, if chas v'sholem, a child, he may be breathing, but he's not breathing easily. Leisa salisa de'ema, you should bring some afterbirth, some of the afterbirth that came out of the mother after the child was born. Velishra ke ilave, and we slide it over his skin. Umaave, and it will help it, will help the child breathe easily. Va'omar Abaya, omro li'im, another thing of Abaya heard from this person, that this woman that was looking after him, hayenuka dekotin, a child that's very emaciated and is not digesting his food and is very, very small, very thin. Laisi lesilta deime, should bring this afterbirth that we mentioned before from his mother. Velishorke ilave, and rub it over his skin. And how are you going to do it? Because the child is emaciated and we want the child to expand, we want the child's organs to become healthier and bigger, then the motion that you rub this afterbirth over the child is mikutna l'ulma. You start rubbing the child with the narrow part of the afterbirth, and as you are slipping this afterbirth over the skin of the child, you move to the wider part of the afterbirth in the hope and encouragement that the child's organs will also expand, become wider and healthier. If chas v'sholem, a child is bloated, there you have an excess amount of expansion and you want the organs to shrink a little bit, then me'ulma l'kutna, you rub this afterbirth on the child, starting with the wider part of the afterbirth and rubbing it over the child. And as you're rubbing this afterbirth on the skin, you should move it to the narrower part of the afterbirth in the hope that it will help the child's organs become less bloated. V'omer Abaya, omro li'im, hayenuka desumok, if you have a child, a newborn child that's very red, de'akati lo ivla beidoma, the blood has not yet been absorbed in its body, it's just lying on the surface, so to speak, between the skin and his flesh, then if you do the bris milah and you're going to penetrate the skin, what you're going to be left is that all the blood is going to pour out. It's very dangerous. So lirta chule, you have to wait ad ivla beidoma, until you can see that the blood has become absorbed in the organs, v'liyam elua, and then you can do the bris milah. deyorik. If you see that a child is yellow, va'akata lo nofal beidoma, the reason is because he is blood deficient. There's not yet enough blood in his system. Then lirtachi ad nofal beidoma, you should wait until you see that there's more blood flowing through the system, v'liyamlua, and then you can do the bris mila. D'tanya, we learnt in a braisa, omer ibnosn, pa'machas holachti lekroche ayam. Reb Nosson once went to the Kroch Hayam, the places far out at sea. Ubos isho achas lefonai, and the Reb Nosson is saying a woman came to me. Shemolo beno rishoin umeis. She did the bris mila, or she obviously arranged for somebody to do the bris mila of her oldest child, of one boy, and the boy died. Sheini umeis. The second one also died. Shlishi hevi also lefonai. And she brought me the third child and wanted me to do the bris mila. Or maybe she was asking if she should do the bris mila. Ro'isiv, I saw the child, she odoim, it was very red. Omaratilo, and I said to this mother, hamtini lo yad sheyiv la boidomoi, wait until the blood gets absorbed in his organs, and then you can do the bris mila. Vhimtina lo, she waited, ad sheyiv la boidomoi, until the blood got absorbed, umola oisoi, and She arranged for the bris mila, v'choyo, and the child survived and lived. V'hoyu koyrinoi, say they called the child Nosson HaBavli, that's the name they gave the child, al shmi, says Reb Nosson, because I was the one that gave her this advice, and in that schus, the child had bris mila and survived, they called the child Nosson HaBavli. Shuv pamachas holachti lemedinas kapoitkia, Reb Nosson says, there was another time that I went to the land of Kapoitkia, ubos isho lefonai, b'isho achas lefonai, and a woman came in front of me, shemolo b'no rishoin umeis. She did bris mila on one boy, on the first son, and the child died. Sheini umeis, the second child also died. Shlishi evioso lefonai, she brought me the third child and wanted to know what to do. Ro'isiv, I saw the child and I noticed two things. Number one, shehu yoroik, he's yellow, which means that he doesn't have enough blood in the system. Hitzatzi boy, and when I gave a more close look, I also noticed, v'loyroisi boy dam bris, I noticed that in the aver where the bris mila has to be done, there's no blood flowing through there at all, which means that even if the bris mila would be done, then no blood would come out. And one of the halachas of bris mila is that a little bit, at least a drop of blood, has to come out. So Amaratilo, I said to this woman, Hamtini loy, wait, achet yipoil boidomoy, wait till there's more blood in his system. Don't forget he's yellow, which means that he has a deficiency in the amount of blood. Wait till he has enough blood. Vimtino loy, she waited for him. Umolo oisoy, and they did the bris mila, and the child had enough blood and was strong enough to recover, and there was enough blood that when they did the bris mila, it was valid because a drop of blood was released from the mila. V'cholyo, it lived. V'hoyu koyrin shmoi, Nosson HaBavli. And here too, they called this child afterwards by the name Nosson HaBavli al shmi, because of my name called Nosson, and I was the one that gave her this advice. Continues the next Mishnah. Marchitzin esakoton bein lifnei hamila ubein le'achar hamila. One is allowed to bathe, wash a little child, both before the bris mila is done and after the bris mila is done. And it helps the child. And after the bris mila is done, it could be a sakona if you don't do it. We'll see later in the Gemara. It could be dangerous if you don't bathe or wash the child. And the Mefarashim discuss, and it's not going to be so apparent in the Gemara, but the Rishonim, the Mefarashim discuss exactly when and under what circumstances one is allowed to wash before, when and under what circumstances is one allowed to wash afterwards, when is it just comfortable for the child, preparing the child, when is it dangerous if one doesn't do it, and there's obviously halachic ramifications to that as to how much Chilul Shabbos one's allowed to do. Just to bathe somebody is not an Issa D'oraisa. It could be the other rabbinical issues, but it's not Issa D'oraisa. If it's a sakona, you're allowed to even be Mechal Shabbos, you will be allowed to heat up the water on Shabbos. If it's not a sakona, you're not allowed to heat up the water on Shabbos. All that, some of those details will be discussed in the Gemara. So the Tanakhama say, you're allowed to bathe a child before the mila and after the mila, umazalfin olov biyad, one sprinkles the hot water biyad with his hand. Avaloi bekli, you should not use any type of utensil with which to sprinkle water on the child. You should do it in an unusual manner. You should sprinkle the water with your hands. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah argues with the Tanna Kamma and says, "Oy, marchitzen es hakotan, you're allowed to, not only do you not have to sprinkle on the child, you're allowed to actually wash the child regularly and normally, bathe the child. B'yoyim ha-shlishi shechal yoyis b'shabbos. On the third day after the Bris Mila, which is on Shabbos, if it's not on Shabbos, you can do whatever you want to do. But even if it's on Shabbos, he says you're allowed to bathe the child, and you do not need to just sprinkle on the child, you're allowed to actually bathe the child. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Vayhi b'yoyim ha-shlishi, was the third day after they did the Mila in Shechem, b'yoyisim k'yavim, and they were all in pain. So you see that on the third day is still a day where it's even more pain, even more dangerous, but either way, certainly the person who did the Bris Mila is still considered a chayle on the third day, and therefore Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says you're allowed to bathe the Mila even on the third day, even if it's on Shabbos. Continues the Mishnah, Sofik. And Rashi says the Sofik here is if the child was born in the eighth month, or if the child was born in the seventh month, or in the ninth month, because a child that's born in the eighth month, the Chachomim knew and assumed the child would not survive. And the halacha is that a bris mila done on a child that was born in the eighth month of pregnancy, you're not allowed to do the bris mila on Shabbos. However, if it's a Sofik, you don't know if the child was born in the seventh month of pregnancy, which interestingly enough, a child would survive, or the ninth month of pregnancy where the child would also survive. If you have a doubt, then the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to do the Bris Mila, which is Chilul Shabbos, on such a baby because it's a Sofik. And Rabbi Kivega asks that this seems to contradict the Gemara and Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. This is what how Rashi explains it, and we're going to stick with that. V'adreganus, a child that Chas V'Shalom has the organs of both a male and the female organs. He's called an adreganus. Ein mechal in olavas haShabbos, then the bris mila may not be done on this child on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'adreganus. Rabbi Yehuda says that regarding Sofik, if it's a doubt, I agree that you're not allowed to do the mila. If it's an adreganus, then you're allowed to do the mila of an adreganus on the eighth day, even if it falls on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Says the Gemara, v'ha'omrus reisha, marchitzin. We have a little bit of a contradiction in the first two lines of the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts, marchitzin es ha-cotton, you're allowed to bathe the cotton. A line later it says, umzalfin olov, and you sprinkle the water onto the child. Sprinkling the water doesn't seem to be bathing the child or washing the child. So answers the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, v'Rabbi Bar Avua d'omr tarvayu, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avua, they both gave an answer to explain the Mishnah. Ketzad toni. The Mishnah, what you have to read into the Mishnah that, so to speak, the Mishnah is asking, how are you bathing the child? To which the answer will be that you sprinkle, you don't bathe it regularly. But not that it's just first it says marchitzin, which we assume means bathing regularly, and then it says mezalfin, sprinkling, that's a contradiction. No. Marchitzin, you can wash the child. How do you wash the child? By sprinkling. Ketzad toni. And how do we read the Mishnah? Marchitzen es hakotan bein lifnei mila bein la'achar ha-mila. You're allowed to wash the child before the mila and after the mila. Ketzad, how are you allowed to wash the child? Mezalfin alav b'yad, avaloi b'kli. That's how Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avua explain the Mishnah. Which means, according to them, according to the Tanna Kamma, you're never allowed to do a regular rachitza, a regular bath. You're only allowed to do mezalfin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you're even allowed to do rechitza. And when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah adds on, b'yoyim ha-shlishi, then it seems from there, and we're soon going to see that in the Gemara, that according to the Tanna Kamma, you're only allowed to do the sprinkling on day one and day two, not on day three. On day three, you're not allowed to do anything. He's no longer in danger. You cannot do anything. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah argues in 2 points. Number one, on day one and day two, not only are you allowed to sprinkle, you're even allowed to bathe the child regularly. That's one thing he argues with the Tanakhama. Another thing he argues with the Tanakhama is regarding day three. According to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do anything on day three, even sprinkling not. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, on day three, you're even allowed to bathe the child regularly. And he brings the pasuk that we saw in the Mishnah. Omar Rava. Rava's got an issue with the way that Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avuha explained the Mishnah. V'homar chitzin k'toni. At the end of the day, the Mishnah starts with mar chitzin. You're allowed to bathe. And whatever way you hold it, bathing does not mean sprinkling. So adding ketzad makes it a bit easier, but it's still, how can ketzad, how can mezalfin, sprinkling, be a ketzad, a way of doing marchitzin, which is bathing? Elo omar Rava, Rava's got a different interpretation to the machlokes in the Mishnah. Hochik toni, marchitzin es hakotn bein milfnei mila bein la'achar mila. According to the Tanakhama, you can do regular bathing before the Mila and after the Mila. Bayoi Marishoin on day one, Kedarkoi. That's what Marchitzin means, not sprinkling. You can do it regularly. And on day two, also. Or Bayoi Mashlishi, and on the third day, the Tanakhama say that if it's during the week, do what you want. If it's on Shabbos, it's no longer necessary to do a full bath. If it's Cholyos B'Shabbos, if it's on Shabbos, Mezalfin Olov, you just sprinkle some water onto the baby, and biyad avaloi bikli. You do it with your hands, don't even do it using any type of utensil. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, marchitzin es hakotn, you're allowed to do regular bathing, b'yoyim ha-shlishi, even on the third day, shechol yeis b'shabbos, that falls on Shabbos, you're allowed to regularly bathe. Shenemar v'yibayim ha-shlishi, b'yoyisam koyavim. Which, and according to Rava, there's no argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the Tanakhama regarding day one and day two. They both agree you can do regular bathing. On day three, the Tanakhama say mezalfin, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says marchitzin. Tanya Kava say to Rava, we have a brisa to the effect of Rava. Marchitzin cotton. It says explicitly, marchitzin a cotton bein nifnei amila, bein la'achar amila, b'yoyim rishayin kedarkoi. The marchitzin means kedarka, you do it in a regular manner. You don't need to do ziluf, sprinkling. You can do regular bathing. Ubayoyim ha-shlishi shechol yeis b'shabbos, mezalfin olav, you just sprinkle, not bathe. Biyad, you sprinkle with your hand and not using a utensil. And that is the Tanakhama, exactly the way Rava explained them. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimer marchitzin es hakotn, ubayoyim ha-shlishi shechol yeis b'shabbos. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that you're allowed to even bathe the child on the third day, even though it's Shabbos. V'afal pisha ein raya ledovar, zeicha ledovar. In our Mishnah, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was bringing proof, it just says shenemar, as it says in the pasuk, as if that's a source. In the Braisa, it says it a little bit differently. It says, even though I don't have proof that the third day it's still important to bathe the child, zeicha ledovar, I've got some hint alluding to that. That on the third day, they were in pain. So you see that the third day is still a continuation of the Mila, and they still considered the wound is still raw and needs to be dealt with an open wound. And the Gemara is going to discuss, why is it not a solid proof? Why is it only a Zeichel Adova? And then, now the Braisa continues, and this is going back on the Tanakhama. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you never do mezalfin. According to the Tanakhama that say that on day three, you do mezalfin, you just sprinkle, kashein mezalfin, ein mezalfin loy bekois, you should not use a cup to sprinkle the water, v'loy beka'ora, not a plate, v'loy bekli, and not with any other utensil, elo biyad, you should do it with your hands, also on the Tanakhama, and this is obviously going on the Tanakhama who say that on day three, if it falls on Shabbos, you just sprinkle, you do not do regular bathing. Says the Gemara, my afal pisha in raya ledova zeicha ledova. Why is it just a hint in that pasuk that day three is still a danger and you have to bathe the child? Why is it not a proof? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you why. Mishum de Godoil, over there in Shechem, they were adults. An adult, lo solik bisra haya. Skin does not replace itself, does not heal fast. And therefore, on day three, as far as an adult is concerned, it's clear from the psukim there that he's the person who had the bris milah is still considered sick. Cotton, however, with a little child, solik be bisra haya, the skin heals itself, the flesh heals itself very quickly, and the child goes out of the danger stage much quicker, and therefore you cannot bring solid proof from the psukim there to milah here. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah does hold that on the third day it's still a sakona, and you are allowed to bathe the child, but solid proof from there you don't have. Continues the Gemara, Hahu da'asa lekamei d'Rava. There was this person that came to Rava and asked him, I've got a child, it's the first day of the Bris Milah, and it's Shabbos, what should I do? And we'll remember, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's no issue. Reichatzin, 3 days straight. Doesn't matter if it's Shabbos or not, Reichatzin. In the Tanakhama, we saw there was a Machlekes. According to Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua, according to the Tanakhama, even on day one and day two, you're not allowed to bathe if it's Shabbos. You have to just sprinkle. According to Rava, you're allowed to bathe on day one and two. What did Rava answer? So Rava told him, Oirile, I ruled him, Kishmaitse, according to what he himself held. He told the father of this child, bathe the child, even though it's Shabbos. Ichlish Rava, at some point Rava became sick, he became weak. Omar, he said to himself, he assumed that the reason he got punished by being sick was because he gave this ruling, saying that you can bathe the child. According to Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua, the Chachomim say you're not allowed to, they say just mezalfin. Omar, he said, Ano, I, Rava, Behada Targimno de Sabi, the interpretations of those two elders, Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua, Lomoli, why did I get involved in it? Why did I challenge their interpretation? Look what's happened now. Omrili Rabbonon Rava, the Chachomim wanted to calm Rava down and try and make him feel more comfortable. They said to him, but we had an explicit brisa that explains the Chachomim, the Tanakhama, like you did. So why are you feeling guilty about it? Why do you think you're being punished for that? Says the Gemara, Rava answered, and it's amazing, this is Chachmei Yisrael. They're looking for so much for the truth that they'll even find a proof, even though there's an explicit brisa according to him, he'll say, yeah, but the Mishnah, which is somewhat more of an authoritative source for Halacha, there's a diuk. It seems to be that Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua are more correct than I am. And maybe that's why I got punished. I've got a diuk in the Mishnah that according to the Tanakhama, you're not allowed to do any rechitza even on day one and day two, which conforms with what Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua said. Midakoma Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say? What term did he use? In the Mishnah it says, third line, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimer, marchitzin es hakotn b'yom hashlishi. You're allowed to bathe the child on the third day. As if Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is introducing a new musug, a new concept. You're allowed to even bathe the child on Shabbos. So Rav is now saying that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimer marchitzin es hakotn b'yom hashlishi shechol yeis b'shabbos, I omros b'shloimo tanakama mezalfin ko'omar. If the Tanakhama in the Mishnah hold, like Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Baravua explained, that according to the Tanakhama, you're never allowed to do Reichatzin. You're only ever allowed to do Mezalfin on day one and day two. Hainu dekomalir, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah marchitzin. We can understand that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, besides for adding on day three, he says marchitzin. You're allowed to even bathe. That's something which the Tanakhama didn't hold of. Eloi omres Tanakhama marchitzin b'yayim rishoin. Ko'omar, if, like Ari Rava wanted to explain, that the Tanakhama hold that on day one and day two, they don't argue the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and they also say you can bathe, u'mezalfin b'yom hashlishi, and only on the third day, if it falls on Shabbos, it's less of a danger, you can suffice with just sprinkling, hay Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah oimer marchitzin, then why is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying, I hold marchitzin? I hold you're allowed to bathe normally. The Tanakhama also say you're allowed to bathe normally. The whole discussion was you're allowed to bathe normally even on the third day or not. Af marchitzin miboyle. He should have said even on the third day marchitzin, but not just say marchitzin as if you're introducing the concept of marchitzin. And the fact that he did say marchitzin, it seems to be that according to the Tanakhama, there's no marchitzin at all, even on day one and day two. And that's how Rav Yehuda and Rav Bar Avuh explained the Tanakhama, and now Rav is feeling guilty that he told this father to bathe his child regularly. He also Rav Dimi Omar Rav Loza, Halacha Rav Loza ben Azaria. The halacha seems to be like Rav Loza ben Azaria that marchitzin, you're allowed to regularly bathe the child on day 1, day 2, and day 3, even though they fall on Shabbos. Hovuba b'marova. In Eretz Yisrael, they were pondering, now that we know that you're allowed to bathe the child on all the first 3 days, even though it's Shabbos, harchotzas kol gufoy or harchotzas mila? How much are you allowed to bathe of the child? Are you allowed to bathe just the mila itself, the organ itself that the bris mila is done, or are you allowed to bathe the entire body of the child? Omalu ahu mirabonon. One of the chachomim said, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei, it was Rabbi Yaakov, he said, Mistabra, logic dictates, Harchotzas kol gufoy. It seems that you're allowed to wash the entire body of the baby. De'isol kedai to Harchotzas mila, if you're suggesting that it's only allowed to bathe, to wash the area of the mila, that one organ, what's the chiddush? Migorab michamin al gabi mako? Why is it different to applying hot water to any wound? De'omar Rav, did Rav not say, Ein moinin, we don't refrain, we don't stop a person from applying chamin v'shemen me'al gabi mako b'shabbos? You're allowed to apply oil and hot water onto a mako on Shabbos. There's no issue with it. And since you're always allowed to do that, what's the discussion here? And why do the chachomim say that you're not allowed to do marachitzin on Shabbos, according to Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Bar Avuha? You're never allowed to do marachitzin, and on day three, according to everybody, you don't do marachitzin. Why not? It's a wound, and you're allowed to do it on any Shabbos, any wound. That's what Rav Yaakov explained. So Rav Yaakov said, since we see there's a machloikus uniquely regarding Mila, it seems that the discussion is bathing the entire child, the entire body. Maskev lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef is asking a question now on Rav Yaakov. V'lo yishoni lecho bein chamin shehu chamu b'shabbos lechamin shehu chamu me'erev Shabbos? I don't understand. That when you mentioned Rav that says you're allowed to apply hot water to a wound on Shabbos, that's talking about hot water that was heated up before Shabbos. But over here in our Mishnah, it's talking about sakona. And you're allowed to even heat up the water on Shabbos, because it's a choylish yesh b'sakona. It's dangerous if you don't. And therefore, it could be that to be mechalal Shabbos and heat up water, maybe you're only allowed to bathe that particular organ, not the whole body of the child. It's not the same as what you're allowed to do every other Shabbos. And here there's a discussion in the Mefarshim, what type of marchitzin in the Mishnah are you even allowed to be mechal Shabbos and heat up the water? Is it also for the marchitzin before the Mila, or is it just the marchitzin after the Mila? That's a discussion in the Mefarshim. But either way, Rav Yosef asked against Rabbi Yaakov that, no, Rabbi Yaakov, how can you say that probably you're allowed to wash your whole body because washing just the aver of the Mila, you're always allowed to do? That's not true, because we're talking here about heating up on Shabbos, and that you're never allowed to do. So maybe the whole discussion is just regarding the aver of the Mila. Maskev lo Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi is now questioning Rav Yosef. Who says that our Mishnah here is talking about a choylish yesh bo sakona and heating up water on Shabbos? Dilma b'chamin shehu chamu b'erev Shabbos pligi. Maybe the discussion is only whether you're allowed to bathe or wash the child with hot water that was heated up before Shabbos. And if so, Rabbi Yaakov is right. Water that was heated up before Shabbos, you're always allowed to apply onto a wound. So if there's a discussion here, it must be the discussion is regarding the whole body of the child. Omar Abaya. Abaya said, Ano boya de'ishnile. I wanted to answer this question that Rav Dimi had against Rav Yosef, where Rav Dimi suggested that our Mishnah is possibly talking just about water that was heated up before Shabbos. V'shonile Rav Yosef. But Rav Yosef himself, even before Abaya could answer, Rav Yosef himself answered the question Rav Dimi asked on him. Mepnei shesakona huloi. This Mishnah is clearly talking about a sakona, as all the other things in the Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. You're allowed to wash the child because it's dangerous. Since you're allowed to do it because it's dangerous, you're even allowed to heat up the water on Shabbos. Since we're talking about heating up the water on Shabbos, then it could be there's a whole discussion even just regarding applying this water to the Aver itself, and there's no reason to assume that you're allowed to apply and bathe the whole body of the child. Itmar Nami, ki osa rovin omer bavo omer belozo. We learnt in the name of Rebbe Elazar, v'omri lo omer bavo omer Rebbe Yochanan. Others say in the name of Rebbe Yochanan, halocha k'Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria. The halacha is like Rebbe Elazar ben Azaria, as we saw before. Bein bechamin shehu chamu b'Shabbos, bein bechamin shehu chamu b'erev Shabbos. Here it says explicitly that you're even allowed to bathe the child with water that was heated up on Shabbos, because it's dangerous. And here he adds on regarding the question we asked before. Bein archotzas kol gufoi, bein archotzas mila. Not only are you allowed to wash the area of the mila, but you're allowed to wash the entire child, nipnei shesakona iloi, because it's dangerous if you don't. Continues the Gemara Gufa. Omar Rav, ein moinin chamin v'shemen me'al gabei mako. We saw before in the name of Rav that on any regular Shabbos, if somebody has a wound, you're allowed to apply hot water and or oil on the or with the oil onto the wound on Shabbos. Or Shmuel Omar, Shmuel argues, and some suggest that Shmuel is only talking about whether if the hot water and the oil are mixed together. Then it's a discussion we're about to see now, if there's a problem of does it look like refuah, and therefore we have the old gzeira we've spoken about a number of times of gzeiras shchikas samemonim. You're not allowed to do anything for curing, in order to cure for healing on Shabbos, because if you allow people to heal themselves on Shabbos, they may come to prepare the ingredients of medicines and come to crush spices, which is seriously osa. So some suggest that the whole machlokes here between Rav and Shmuel we're about to see is only when the water and the oil is together. But if it's just water, even Shmuel will agree that it's allowed, because if we don't say that, we're going to have an issue with the Gemara before, where the Gemara quoted Rav in the discussion of what you're allowed to wash the child with after the Mila, in order that we shouldn't have an issue with Shmuel. They say that since in our Mishnah we're talking about just hot water, not the oil, therefore, even Shmuel would agree that it would be okay. But either way, let's get back to where we are here. We're talking about a regular Shabbos, a regular wound. And it's a ein bo sakana. It's obviously not dangerous. If it's dangerous, you can do any chilul Shabbos. Shmuel says you're not allowed to apply the hot water and the oil directly onto the wound. Noisin chutz lamake. You're allowed to apply it outside, on top of the area of the wound, and then it doesn't look so much like you're engaging in medicine. V'shoyses v'yered lemaka, and then you're allowed to allow the whatever you're applying, the hot water, the oil, to flow onto the wound. And Shmuel says that's enough of a separation, it's clear enough that you're not really engaging in medicine, and it's allowed. Meisvei, we're now going to have a question against Rav. Rav said, you're allowed to apply chamin and shemen straight onto a wound on Shabbos. How's he going to learn the following brisa? The brisa says, "Ein noisnin shemen v'chamin al gabe moich." You're not allowed to put oil and hot water onto a soft cloth. Litein al gabe mako, in order to then apply this cloth onto a wound, but Shabbos, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Why are you not allowed to do it on Shabbos? Because it looks like refuah. And therefore, this brisa seems to be following Shmuel that says that applying the hot water and the oil to a wound is an issue with refuah on Shabbos. And therefore, you're not allowed to put it on the wound, you're not allowed to put it onto the soft cloth, and as we saw before, you're allowed to put it next to the wound and let it drip and flow onto the wound. But you see in the brisa clearly, there is an issue with applying it directly. Not like Rav. Rav says that you're allowed to. Answers the Gemara, no. Hosso mishum schita. You'll notice there's a fundamental difference between what Rav said and what it says in this brisa. Rav is talking about applying the oil and the water directly onto the wound. So there it's only an issue of refuah, And Rav says there's no problem, it doesn't look like refuah, and you're allowed to do it. Shmuel says there is a problem with refuah, and therefore you have to do it in an unusual manner. The Brice is talking about applying the oil and the water onto a moich, onto a piece of cloth. Here we have an added issue. When you're going to take this cloth and apply it to the wound, you're going to squeeze it. Squeezing is also on Shabbos. And therefore Rav says that you're not allowed to do. Toshima, we're going to ask on Rav from another Brice. We have another braisa that says you're not allowed to put the hot water and the oil onto this cloth which is on the mako. And this is a bit different to the braisa before. Before, the braisa says that the first braisa we mentioned was talking about a cloth which was not yet on the mako. It was just, maybe you're holding it in your hand, and there, when you apply it, there will be an issue of schita. Here we see explicitly, you put the dry moich, a dry piece of cloth, on the wound before. And now you want to apply the hot water and the oil, and even in that case, the braisa says it's osa. Is that not contradicting Rav that says you're allowed to apply the oil and the water onto the wound? Says the Gemara, no. Hosom nami Mishom Schita. Even though the cloth is already on the wound, you could still come to squeeze the cloth, and that's why it's osa. But when there's no cloth involved at all, it's just about applying the water and the oil on the wound. According to Rav, he says there's no issue of refuah there, and therefore it's allowed. Tanya Kavosei de Shmuel, we have a braisa like Shmuel. Ein noisnin chamin v'shemen al gabei mako b'shabbos. You're not allowed to apply the hot water and oil directly onto a wound on Shabbos, aval noisnin chutz lemaka, you're allowed to apply it outside the area of the wound, v'shoisos v'yored lemaka, and allow them to flow down onto the maka. It's an unusual way of applying it, and therefore there's no issue of being engaged in medicine on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a braisa, noisnin al gabe amaka, one's allowed to apply onto a wound, moich yovesh, a dry piece of soft cloth, usfoig yovish, and a dry piece of sponge, because they have no therapeutic value whatsoever. All they do is they prevent any of the hard threads of the cloth, of a person's clothes, from rubbing against the wound, but they don't have any healing properties. Avaloi gem yovish, but a dry reed, veloi ksisin, or dry ksisin yovishim, and not dried rags, these, they do have therapeutic value, and therefore the braisa says you're not allowed to apply them on Shabbos, you're not allowed to engage in medicine on Shabbos. Asks the Gemara, kashyo ksisin aksisin. First you say that a moich yovish, a dried piece of soft cloth, you're allowed to apply because it has no medical value. And then you say that ksisin, which is also rags, you're not allowed to apply them because they do have therapeutic values. The braisa seems to be contradicting itself. Lo ikashya, the Gemara says it's not a contradiction. Ha b'chadati, ha b'atiki. If this is a new rag that's never been applied onto a wound before, then it has therapeutic value and you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. But if it's an old moich, if it's a piece of rag that's been used to on a wound before, it does not have any more value in curing and healing the wound, and therefore you're allowed to apply it on Shabbos, obviously providing that it's dry. Omar Abaya Shma Mino, from here we see Hanik Sisin, that the dry rags, providing they've never been used to cure a wound before, Mosu, they have healing values, and therefore you're not allowed to apply them on Shabbos. Yemir Tzashem, in the next shiur we'll continue from here.